Welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos. Today, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Eric Herzig on constitutional tension, the departure of Harry Reid, and Nevada's future. That's next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with Dr. Eric Herzig, who is the chair of the Political Science Department at the University of Nevada. Hey, Eric, thanks for coming on the show. Let's talk about, we've got a lot of stuff that's going on. You know, we came off a presidential election year. We had Harry Reid retire. I mean, this has kind of been a big year for our country, for our state, with a lot of changes. So let's start with the big one, with Donald Trump. And one of the things I've said throughout this election is I think Donald Trump will be a good president, even if he's not a good president, because I think we will start to see that balance of power, which really has been with the executive branch for the last 70 years, start to shift back to the legislative branch, because there isn't a lot of trust by members of both parties in Congress of what a President Trump will do. So we'll start to see a reassertion of legislative power.
We could. And I would agree with your premise that the legislature has not been doing their job. I mean, they factionalized, and you can trace this back easily to the early 90s, even into the 80s, depending on how you want to look at it. And it's only gotten worse. And it's reinforced by institutional norms. I mean, the way districts are drawn makes these guys incredibly safe. The perks of Congress makes it so that when they say it's a rigged game, yeah, it's a rigged game for incumbents, and it doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans.
Okay, the perks. So, I mean, the perks are raising money, right? I mean, as an incumbent, you're able to raise
money. Oh, it's not just raising money. It's like your franking privilege of sending all this free mail, of all the staff that you have to deal with all the complaints that come from your districts, the travel to go back to your district. Mark Amadei was in a class, and I teased him about that, and he said, well, if you saw my schedule when I come back, I'm going, yeah, but half of it is you're back raising money from supporters. I mean, that's not exactly legislative work, but that's what it has become. When you look at their schedules, I mean, members of the House work at most 4 days a week. Okay, they adjourn Thursday afternoons and they come back on Monday.
Well, they work legislating, but I mean, there's also stuff they do in terms of reaching out to their constituents, in terms of being there and being accessible. And I mean, I got to give Mark Amadei is one of my good friends and mentors, and love the guy. And I mean, I think he is one of the most accessible members of Congress that we have.
I completely agree. He's a nice guy. He's accessible. I mean, he could walk into a Lowe's and people would start, he'll have like a mini town hall right there. But the bottom line is, he is still part of that kind of what they always make fun of. I'm not part of the Washington culture because I don't live there. That means you are part of the Washington culture. I mean, you're basically working limited days on Wednesday nights. I don't know which night it is for Mark. He's a member of Congress. He's dialing for dollars, calling people up to raise money. And it's not an attack on, I like Mark. He's an effective legislator. He's funny. I love to have
ninth
him in Congress.
Ninth most effective guy in Congress.
But at the end of the day, he is part of this institutional problem. I mean, I don't want to, it's all Mark Amadei. No, they're all doing it. And this is an institutional problem. So back to your question, Congress has not been doing their job very effectively because they've gotten sidetracked, and this is a key part of political science. Very famous book, Congress, the Electoral Connection by David Mayhew. What's the number one goal of Congress? To get reelected. Well, I can't get anything done unless I'm reelected. Yeah, okay, that's this kind of sidestepping it. But then all the other items are geared so you can get reelected, and you're incredibly partisan to where, you know, at when Obama, even before Obama's inaugurated, Mitch McConnell calls together all the Republicans. They have a meeting and said, we're going to make him a one-term president. We're not going to work with him. And it's like, that's not exactly doing your job. And the Democrats could easily do the same thing.
Apparently they didn't do that job either.
They didn't do it very well.
So, okay, let's talk about institution. I mean, you have, you know, somebody like Mark Amadei who does come back, you know, as much mm-hmm. as he can and spend time in the district with his constituents. And then on the other side, we have, you know, Harry Reid, who's going to be retiring here in a few days. I think what, January
5th or 6th?
5th or 6th. He's, yeah, trying to, there's a constitutional, I mean, there's a constitutional provision on the date. So, I mean, we have a few days left of Harry Reid being our senior senator from the state of Nevada. What is his retirement going to do in terms of Nevada and its effectiveness in D.C.?
I think Nevada goes from having, whether you like Harry Reid or not, he was one of the most powerful members in government. He could stop things because, particularly when he was majority leader, because he sets the agenda. That's an institutional item. He could help mining. I mean, in 2010, Ilko Paper backs him. I mean, because he was there for mining. Now we're going to have a congressional delegation that's has no experience. I mean, you've got nobody there has served more than, what, 6 years? Dean Heller is now going to become our senior senator.
Yeah.
And what the reality is, Nevada is a small state. And if you don't have people positioned in the House, it's just how long they've served. And in the Senate, it's the effectiveness of the individual legislator. Nevada's going to be pretty invisible.
Well, I mean, I look at ways that Nevada may not be invisible that, you know, maybe are away from Congress where he could still have some influence. You know, people like Sheldon Adelson and Steve Wynn, and, you know, maybe that's more with the executive branch.
Maybe, but, you know, they're gamers. That's not the majority of the American economy. Okay, so maybe on gaming, they'll have influence, although Sheldon Adelson doesn't play well with others in gaming, and so you're going to get some mixed messages there. Nevada just doesn't have, with Harry Reid's exit, and actually we were hurt also by John Ensign's exit. Those two worked very effectively. Ensign was this rising kind of force within the Republican side, and then, oops, he leaves. And Harry Reid was the last man standing, stood for Nevada, knew how to play this game better than anybody, whether you like it or not, and now he's gone.
Yeah. All right. We are talking politics with political science professor and chair of the political science department of the University of Nevada, Eric Herzig. We will be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with Dr. Eric Herzig, my former political science professor, chair of the, I don't know if you want me to admit that or not.
Political science department. I've been doing it for too long.
To think about how long I've been gone, that's what makes me feel old. But we are talking politics. We are talking you know, what Nevada's role is back in D.C. Is it diminished? You know, what a President Trump is going to look like. And let's talk about that a little bit. You know, we saw throughout the country, you know, you're a college professor. You have kids in school. That were they upset when Trump was elected president? Was it as bad as we saw some of the other places around the country?
People were upset. I mean, by the same token, there were people who were very happy about it. I mean, it seems
probably a minority.
Yeah, a minority, without a doubt. And it was more, I think a lot of people were shocked, not just, I was surprised, I wasn't shocked. And then when you can do the postmortem, it's like, okay, so underestimated this. And, you know, I wasn't alone. Nate Silver, 538, and who's one of the gurus of this. Although he's now backpedaling, saying, I really didn't miss it by that much. It's like, okay. And
hey, I'm going to take credit for I did call it a while ago. I think the last time I had you on the show. I mean, I came out of the closet as a Trump voter.
I don't know that you were ever in the closet on that
ball.
You're
probably
but, okay.
not. Yeah. But I mean, you know, publicly, in a public forum, you know, widely broadcast, it was. So, you know, I did think that he could do it by getting the same people that ended up showing up. And
that was the big thing. I mean, the Democrats, and this is a lesson for Democrats. I mean, the 2014 elections in Nevada, for example, Republicans showed up at their normal level, and the Democrats, I think, forgot what day the election was. And then
For 3 weeks now, right?
And in this election, what'd you have, 5 million fewer Democrats show up?
Yeah.
And, you know, Clinton still wins the national vote. And a lot of people are upset about that. And I'm kind of going, hey, guys, that's not how this game is played. You knew the rules going in. And I think the Clinton folks made mistakes, for example. They started to believe their own hype of all the states that were in play. So they
Arizona, went, Georgia, Texas.
I was going to say exactly Arizona. So they spent all this time in Arizona, but gee, they never went to Wisconsin. It was like, oops. So you lost sight of some of the basic, in a sense, rules, if you will. And yeah, the election was incredibly close, and some of, you know, got my good liberal friends, oh, if only this would have happened in Pennsylvania, or if this, and that's it. And actually, I made an off-color kind of if comment, but that's the if doesn't count. I mean, there's where the votes were.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, is there acceptance now, or is it still as raw as it was right after the election?
I think acceptance, I don't know, I'd go with resignation maybe on that side, and it's still pretty raw. I mean, and Trump just made it worse in a sense. He fanned the flames, but the ember was there. I mean, it's not like the United States entered this election and it was like, oh, and we're all together and somehow Trump split us. Oh, no, that divide was there.
Yeah, no more era good feelings.
Well,
I mean,
and going back as an analogy, it's like after 9/11, everybody got together around George Bush, and then Democrats will say, oh, and he just squandered that unity. No, that was an artificial unity brought together by crisis, and it could not hold. Because
it did for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching everybody sitting there the day, and everybody singing the Star Spangled Banner, you know, but, you know, on the Capitol steps, and I sent to my she's my wife now. This isn't going to last.
Yeah. And actually, the divide wasn't as great then as it is now. And so you've got that going on. And
so why is that? I mean, is that redistricting? Are we becoming more partisan as a people? I mean, you know, I honestly think, and I blame the Democrats in this sense. Mm-hmm. I think the Democrats have become far more liberal than the Republicans have become right. I mean, you actually have middle of the road Republicans and you have very few middle of the road Democrats. I mean, I think Catherine Cortez Masto may be as close as you come.
I wouldn't completely disagree with you, although those middle of the road Republicans, and I would count myself as one of them, don't feel particularly welcome in the Republican Party. And this election, again, I've gotten blowback on that. And it's like, oh, you know, you're not a real Republican. You're not a real conservative. And I've never claimed to be a real conservative because I don't know what one is, because whenever I talk to a conservative, each one defines it separately.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, what's the conservative position on Cuba? Okay, is it free trade? Is it, anti-communist? I was like, well, who do you talk to? And they'll give you a different answer. Be that as it may, there are all kinds of reasons for this divide and why it's gotten worse. part of it's structural. Yes, the redistricting just makes people incredibly safe. And then that limits your choices. That in Congressional District 2, again, I'm not picking on Mark.
I love Mark.
You can be as conservative as you want in that district. All right. You could say build a 50-foot wall and shoot people coming across the border, and you'd probably be okay. Amade actually went out on a limb saying, well, you know, we need to look at immigration and maybe a pathway to citizenship. I bet you that was very uncomfortable with some people in that district. He's more likely to get a challenge on the right than to ever lose to a Democrat.
All right. We are talking politics with Eric Herzig, Dr. Eric Herzig, here on Nevada Newsmakers, and we will be right back. Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
All right, we are back on Nevada Newsmakers with Dr. Eric Herzig. Before we left, we were talking about the divisions, the kind of the partisan divisions that we have. You know, we focused on the Republican side, but I mean, it goes on the Democratic side too.
Absolutely. I mean, both sides have become, you know, more ideological, left and right. And I'll agree with you, it's hard to find that centrist Democrat, and as a centrist Republican, it's an uncomfortable place to be. But on the Democratic side, you've got this overwhelming, what I call identity checklist politics. And that's, in a sense, how Clinton ran her campaign. It's like, we've got this group, we've got this group, we've got this group.
Well, hey, you saw it in the WikiLeaks emails. You know, we need so many white guys, we need so many Hispanics, we need so many women, we need so many from the LGBT community. I mean, it's kind of crazy, and you scratch your head going, and you know, that's their big criticism of the Trump cabinet now, is there's too many white men.
Well, Latinos are going to say, hey, there are no Latinos in it. Well, given that the Latino community was overwhelmingly against Trump, and for perfectly understandable reasons, it's like, so now you expect that to be, you're going to be all inclusive here. No. And this is part of the problem any president has in terms of bringing so-called bringing people together, a cabinet. You know, Bill Clinton said he'd have a cabinet that looked like America. Well, yeah, and 90% of them were Ivy League grads and 75% were lawyers. So, I mean, this has been going on both sides. And so you've got the identity politics issue. You've got social issues going on. You've got racial issues going on. And we talked a little bit about it earlier, about how institutionally members of Congress are pretty isolated. And so they left or right, will appeal to specific groups and usually more extreme groups, whether it's Dina Titus in one or Mark Amade in two. OK, and then pity the poor guy who's running in three, in Nevada three. Yeah. So, and this has been going on for a while. It's gotten worse. It's fanned by the media. There are all kinds of factors behind it. And getting back to what we started in terms of, you know, we need the legislature to reassert itself. Yeah, we do. But they're the ones who have been leading us down this path for so long. I don't know if they can pull back and do it. That's a very pessimistic
right?
view.
I mean, really. And that's what it's about. It's about being productive. And because when, you know, one thing Harry Reid was absolutely great at is he used his power. He knew how to use power. And when you have somebody with power that isn't using it, there's that vacuum and something will fill it. And when Congress hasn't acted, we've seen it filled by an overactive regulatory scheme from the executive branch, and really overactive judges too. I mean, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they're making law that is having an impact across the country.
Well, and the group and interest groups, which we've left out, I mean, it's no surprise.
We like them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you do. I look at the minimum wage pullback on the regulation. Gee, where was that case? They did jurisdiction shopping. And the case is heard in East Texas. Well, why? Well, because you had the most conservative justice there in order to get, in a sense, the decision that you wanted. Interest groups know it. I agree that, you know, what's really bad, and people say, well, it'll change now because the Republicans control all the levers of government. That's both perhaps a good and a bad thing. Because when you had the Republican control in early George Bush administration, yeah, they just rammed things through. Tom, the hammer delay. Okay. But, oh, you're picking on Republicans. No. And then you get...
Well, hey, Eric, I'll tell you what. From somebody who, you know, is a lifelong Republican who has been waiting to see a Nevada legislature controlled entirely by Republicans, I don't know that I ever want to see that again. That was the worst legislative session I've ever been through, and I hope it never repeats itself.
That was an odd session. And then when Obama comes in with all Democrats, okay, the Republicans don't work with them, and the Democrats are more than willing not to work with them as well, and you cram through a liberal agenda. It's flawed policy because it's one-sided policy. Only one side's writing the rules. Where if you go back, say in the 1960s, and something like the Civil Rights Act, that passed largely because of Republicans led by Everett Dirksen.
That's right, from Illinois.
From Illinois, wasn't an ideologue. He worked with Lyndon Johnson, hardly, you know, a very odd kind of, was he liberal, was he conservative? And they were able to get this, in a sense, bipartisan legislation through. And you had people on the, particularly Barry Goldwater walked away from it.
Yeah.
Okay. So when both sides are able to work together, and this is, you know, my favorite Republicans, Everett Dirksen, Gerald Ford. Okay. Even in the minority, they were able to work with the other side. You also had more conservative Democrats at that time, too, in the legislature.
That were opposing it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Eric, I really appreciate coming in here. Great conversation, as always.
It was fun.
Always. Always is. And here's to an exciting 2017. Hopefully profitable, too. All right. We're going to be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Thanks for listening. If you want to visit our website, you can go to NevadaNewsmakers.com. And of course, listen to us on News Talk 780 KOH. Thanks for listening.